Good evening, everyone, and this is Celeste Duckworth, your host for A Taste of Ink Live. How's everyone today? And I hope everyone's doing great. Tonight, we have Tara Richter. Tara is the founder of Richter Publishing, and she specializes in helping business owners write their nonfiction story in 4 weeks and publish a book to become an expert in their industry. So we're happy to have her today. Just want to tell you that intro music, I'm going to find out someday, was by Joe Symes and the Loving Kind. They sent us that song to go on our playlist. They have been featured as top number 3 in the BBC and Introduction BBC Music, and they're getting amazing reviews around the world for that single. So you'll be able to hear it at the end of the show, and hopefully we'll have them on one of our next Music Cafe programs and interview them about their music and about what they do. Now, today we have Tara Richter, and, you know, she has been featured on CNN, ABC, Fox, Fox Channel 10 News, USA Today. She has even written and published 10 of her own books in a few short years, and she has even published authors such as celebrity entrepreneur Kevin Harrington, Shark from ABC Shark Tank, with Anthony Amos, and the book is How to Catch a Shark. So we want to welcome her today. This is a great time for a lot of business owners that I know, a lot of coaches that are writing their own books, and or trying to write their own books and not really trying to learn how to maneuver in the world of publishing a book and all the different avenues right now. You can self-publish a book. There's Amazon, there's Lulu.com. There's so many ways to advertise. There's so many ways to publish your book now. And I'm going to tell you, even though I have this program and have been talking to authors for the last year and a half, there is not any right or wrong way, but isn't it fantastic to be able to talk to someone that can help you do that in such a minimum amount of time? So we're going to be able to talk to Tara in a few minutes, but before Tara comes on, we're just going to give a little bit of information from our business sponsor today. Our business sponsor is Hope's Crossing. They're a nonprofit in Phoenix, Arizona, and what they do is they help women who have been in situations like incarceration, drug addiction, a lot of different situations. They're helping them to be rebuild and restore their lives back to their families, their homes, and to become very helpful in the community. Now, what they're doing is they're raising money to help offset some of the expenses for things that they need, like the GED. Women come in and they assess them to see their education levels. They help them get their GED. So they're raising some money. They're having a what they call a change for change. So look, some of you guys are saving up that change, or you have change around the house. Well, here's a good cause. Your change has the power to change a life. Their goal is $1,000, but I predict it's going to be more that people are going to give. And September the 24th, on Thursday, bring your change to Hope's Crossing. They're located at 830 North 1st Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. And from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., they're having a little open house. It'd be great for you to go visit them, my local Arizona listeners, to go visit Hope's Crossing. Bring your change and help a woman change with your change. So I'm hoping that a lot of you that are hearing me will go out and do that. So now we're gonna introduce you to Tara Richter, the president of Richter Publishing. And as I said, she specializes in helping business owners learn how to write their nonfiction story in 4 weeks and publish a book in order to become an expert in your industry. So, Tara, I'd like to welcome you tonight. How are you today?
Thanks. Good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm happy that you said yes, because this program is not only for authors, but it's also for people that are in the industry of publishing to come on also and talk about what they do. I get a lot of young business owners or either business owners that are trying to write their books, coaches that are trying to write their books. So I get a lot of questions like, how do I publish my book? So we're happy to have you on tonight and talk about what Richter Publishing does for authors. So my first question, Tara, is just tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, basically, I have been writing books ever since I could pretty much walk. So it's always been a passion of mine since I was little. You know, my mom said I would make books with crayons and paste and ribbons and tie them all together. So it was pretty much set in the stars of, you know, me developing my own publishing house down the road. So I've always loved writing. I've always loved graphic design, which that's actually what my college degree is in, is electronic imaging and graphic design. And I worked in the copy and print industry for a long time out in Silicon Valley. So all of those skill sets really came together when, you know, like I said, I've been writing my whole life, but I didn't publish my first book until about three years ago now. And literally in the last 3 years, I have 10 books. My publishing house has now, at the end of this month, we'll publish 30 books total, and four of them are Amazon bestsellers, and two of them, well, one of them was actually a number one Amazon bestseller, which is really hard to get. So that's amazing. And two of them were number one Amazon Hot New Releases. So it's been a really fun journey.
Well, let me ask you, because I did go on Amazon and look at your book. So I have to ask you, I saw a couple of your books had to do with dating and dating and relationships. Was that something that you first started writing about, or is that something that you're really interested in writing about?
Well, that was actually my first book, which was 10 Rules to Survive the Dating Jungle. It's my story of going through divorce and then venturing back out into the wonderful dating jungle. And how it had changed, and, you know, it was a lot of emotional type thing for me that really got me back to my creative roots, to open up those, you know, that type of stuff. Because, like I said, I've been writing my whole life, but yet I was in the mortgage industry for 10 years, and I hated every minute of it. So going through the divorce, it really, you know, got me back in touch with my emotions, and I was like, how do I deal with this? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to write. And it just kind of, you know, ripped that Band-Aid off the whole creative flow. And once I opened up the floodgates, they never stopped, which is awesome. So I actually ended up publishing 3 books in the Dating Jungle series. And, you know, with those books, that's where I was featured on, like, CNN, ABC, Daytime TV, Fox. I actually had my own radio show for about a year called The Dating Jungle. And, you know, once I was able to publish my books, become successful with them, then that's when I decided to open my publishing house, because I'm like, you know, this is, you know, really my true passion. And if I can be successful with my books, I can help other people write their books and become successful as well.
Okay. So, and this is great, because do you feel being a writer and then becoming a publisher, do you feel that as far as business and what your passion is, that they've lined up perfectly for you?
Absolutely. I mean, I love, you know, because, like, let me go back. For the authors that, you know, love to write, but then they don't really know how to market the book and get out there, it's, you know, I love marketing. So, you know, I always, and it doesn't matter what I do, I treat it as a business. And if you're going to be an author and you're going to have a book, you've got to treat the book as a business. You can't just publish it and put it out there and be like, oh, people are just going to buy it. No, you got to market every single day. You got to have that book with you. You have to network. Like, there's so much that you have to do. And a lot of new authors don't understand that. So you have to take it very seriously. And that's, you know, what I did with my books,
and how I got my success. So it's really like my publishing house is a one-stop shop for everything to do with books. You know, the marketing, mm-hmm. the writing, the publishing, social media. I mean, even like just this last week, I've been doing a lot of printing like banners, postcards, like all that kind of stuff. You know, that mm-hmm. other publishing houses, they don't do that for you. You know, they publish right. a book and then it's just done. They just kind of drop you like
right.
a wet rag.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Like,
uh-huh.
You're like, I don't know what to do with this thing. I have this book. What do I do with it? And that's how I was in the beginning. I had my book, and 6 months later, I'm like, I have no idea what to do with this thing. Like, it's pretty, and it's
uh-huh.
sitting there. Now, how do I market it? How do I make sales? How do I, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I figured all that out. So that's what my house, we have, my publishing house, we have a bunch of, it's really just a la carte packages, and you pay for, you know, what you need help with, and obviously,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, based on your budget.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a great idea, and I will say because I have just my little pet peeve, and this is going to go into your next question, because my little pet peeve is that I know a lot of writers that will start their own publishing company, and sometimes I have to look at that and say, okay, you know, why are you doing that? I know some writers have self-published their books and been very successful. But it is, as you say, marketing is a huge deal. Even for me, as a writer, I don't want to handle that part of it. So I always say, when people come to me, I always say, okay, is your passion to write a book or is your passion to be a publisher? So this is what I want to ask you now is that, you know, how important is it for a writer to be an expert in writing their book if that's what their true passion is? Because now you've seen both sides of it, but you've managed to come, you know, you've managed to
like
create something to be able, yes, you've been able to come full circle.
Yeah, it's difficult to say because, you know, a lot of the clients that I work with, you know, it is business owners, and so a lot of them are doing the book to get, you know, the media exposure, to be considered an expert
mm-hmm.
in their industry, you know,
right.
take their business to the next level. So they don't even want to write. They're like, nah,
mm-hmm.
I don't have time for that. So that's why
right.
we actually
uh-huh.
have a package. We will write the book for the author.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of our high-end packages that will come in. Actually, I come in. I interview the author.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhere between
mm-hmm.
5 to 10 hours. I take
mm-hmm.
all the information out of their brain, and then
mm-hmm.
I give it to my editorial staff, and 2 weeks later, we can have a 150-page manuscript, rough draft, that we then give
mm-hmm.
back to the author, and then we start editing, you know, and going back and forth through edits. So we can actually
mm-hmm.
get a book written and published in anywhere between 4 and 6 weeks.
Nice. Okay. That is really good. And so, you know, tell me about how you, so now do you only publish for business owners or do you publish anything else besides a nonfiction book or are you still, staying in that niche there?
Well, that's like, you know, my number one niche is nonfiction business books. I do
mm-hmm.
do autobiographies as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning of the year, I'm going to open up another arm of my publishing house.
Because
I get approached a lot for kids'
mm-hmm.
books. Like half of the people
mm-hmm.
that come to me want to do a kids' book. So I'm like, well,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the first couple of years, I was turning people away and I was only doing business books. But now I'm going to start opening it up. You know, I don't really deal with fiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a whole nother animal in and of itself. I really like the nonfiction. It's structured.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's
mm-hmm.
a message to it.
Okay.
You know, you're kind of like
yes.
in and out. Where fiction is just all over the place. And
yeah, okay. That's
like,
a great, you know what, that's a great point. I never thought about it that way, but it's an excellent point.
Mm-hmm.
It's an excellent point because I don't think a lot of people that go into the publishing industry really think about that in that term, and I've worked in the college arena. So I know we've had publishers come in there. So now I get that. That's a very great way to say that. I imagine you're correct. Fiction is all over the place compared to nonfiction, which is more structured.
Yeah, it's so much easier. It's so much faster. I like to get things done fast. I have streamlined, the process. We can get it done very quickly. I said, most of them, they just want it as another product, another tool in their toolbox for their business. So I've met with some fiction writers, and I'm a creative person, but I consider myself an organized chaos, and there's just chaos, and I can't deal with that.
Okay. Well, now tell me, this is interesting because, you're going to start another branch of the business, so tell me about editing. Is it a difference to having editors for a different type of books, because now you're going to go into another area, or do you have a team that's creative enough to be able to make that switch?
Well, I have about 10 editors on my staff right now, and so, I have all different kinds of editors, because it's interesting. You need to have a wide variety. I have just some of the general ones I have is I have, like, a creative editor, that will come in and kind of, restructure, sentences, come up with ideas, thoughts, and actually be able to expand the book for the author, especially for the ones that, we write it for them. Sometimes we have to go in there and expand. Then we have, the grammar, the spelling. Then we have, the structure type of editors that will, structure the story and be like, no, this chapter goes here. We got to move that chapter. We got to, it sounds better like this. So we have so many different types of editors. I really like that because I try to do at least, three or four rounds of edits each time with a different editor to get it from all different kinds of angles,
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, to get the most fully developed, that we can with every manuscript.
I like that idea. So tell me, what was the challenge for you to develop the program to publish, in a short time? What was the challenge of putting that together?
There actually wasn't any challenge. It came to me boom, oh my gosh. It's basically, if you take the whole writing and publishing process since I've done it 10 times for myself. Every time I did it, I was like, okay, there's an easier, faster way to do this. And that's just the way my brain works. I love organizing stuff. It doesn't matter what I do. My brain's always going to find the shortest, quickest way from point A to point B. So it just came really natural that a industry standard 5x8 book is approximately 20,000 words. Okay, so 20,000 words really isn't that much. So this is a little writing challenge that I give to my authors who, want to actually write the book. I give these workshops, so it's really cool. So I break it down. What you do is I have calendars and, outlines and stuff on my website that people can download for free on richerpublishing.com under the resources. And so if you write 715 words a day for 28 days, that's a little over 20,000 words.
Wow.
Boom, you have your rough draft. And that's just a rough draft, though. So, this writing challenge is basically just to get it out of your head, just to write every day, and it's not going to be pretty, and you're not supposed to edit. You're just supposed to get it out of your head. It's probably going to be ugly. I kind of call it vomiting on the page. You just get it out. Get it all out of your head, okay? It's going to smell. It's going to be nasty, but you can't edit because when you go back and forth from the creative flow and the editing flow, you're going switching from your right to your left brain, and it stops that whole creative process, So you just got to get it out. And at the end of 28 days, you have a 20,000 word manuscript, which is big enough to publish a 100-page book. So then what you do is you go back and then you can start to edit. And then you can clean it up, and then you can add in and out. And really at that point is when I would suggest starting to work with an editor because, at that point you want someone else's point of view. Because, once you have 20-some thousand words, it's really good to bring someone else in and kind of help you with it.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's pretty good. And I like what you said that I like what you said as far as it's going to be more than one edit that you'll go through. And I think that's fair to say that that's the best way.
Absolutely.
How was it to work with a celebrity entrepreneur like Anthony Amos and Kevin Harrington doing that book, How to Catch a Shark?
Well, I actually have quite a few celebrities that I've worked with. And, you know, everybody is always fun. You know, everybody has amazing stories to tell. Even whether you're famous or not, everybody has amazing stories to tell, which is why I just love doing this business because I learn so much. You know, I get to know the authors so well because they're telling me all of their, a lot of their deepest, darkest secrets, you know, especially when you're going into autobiographies about it. So, like, you know, working with Anthony and Kevin, to me, really just felt like any other person, you know. I'm in Kevin's house on the beach, which, of course, is gorgeous. You know, interviewing him, and he's just the coolest, most down-to-earth person. He doesn't act like a snob. He doesn't think he's better than anyone else. He's just a very cool, down-to-earth kind of guy, and so is Anthony, you know. And so it just felt like you're hanging out with, I mean, like a high school buddy, you know. I mean, that's just how cool they are and really how most people are that, you know, I work with when we write the book for them and I have to sit down and interview them. You know, I think I have this knack for people just feeling really comfortable around me and spilling their guts out, which obviously helps me in my business. You know, like there's no judgment here. Like I'm not judging anyone. I just have that knack, especially when I go to the grocery store. That's kind of odd, and people just come up and just start telling me their life story. I'm like, I'm just trying to buy some food. I'm like, you can save this for another time, okay?
Right. Well, tell me about some challenges you may have had with authors you work with, because I know, like you said, it's a different personality. Have you ever had someone that was just difficult, and how did you handle it?
Yeah, there's always difficult people in this world, unfortunately. And I would have to say, you know, now that I've, you know, like we've been in business for a couple of years now, the most difficult thing that I come into encounter with is really when the author just won't let me do my job. Like, this is what I do.
Okay.
I'm really good at it. I'm the creative person. I'm the marketing. You know, I have 4 Amazon bestsellers. I know what I'm doing. So when the author comes in and they try to have too much control and they just won't let me do my job, that's when they're, you know, can be a struggle. But at the end of the day, you know, it's their book, and my publishing house is very different. You know, the author is the one who signs off on everything. So I will tell you my expert opinion. I will say, well, I really think, you know, we should do this, and then I may reiterate it 5 times. And if they're like, no, I don't want to do that, I'm like, okay, well, all right, we'll do it your way. But I'm just saying, based on my experience, we should go with route A. But if they want to go with route B, okay, we'll sign off. But you know, I already told you, we probably shouldn't do that.
Okay. Well, tell me now, so how important would you say social media is today when it comes to authors? Because, I mean, it's been phenomenal just in the last couple of years from, you know, not really seeing a lot of authors marketing their books online to now it's just like, you know, just everywhere. But I know that some of the marketing at the time when I first started doing this, they were still doing book signings and, you know, the regular route, or not the regular, but the old-fashioned route before social media. So tell me how important social media is now, because I know I've talked to authors that find it very challenging.
Well, I mean, social media is really important just because that's, you know, the way that everybody really gets their news, how they interact with their friends. You know, everybody is on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. I think it's really important. But you really need to hit it from, you know, all different angles. So, and we have social media campaigns that we will do for our authors. And even people who publish through someone else will still do a social media campaign for them.
So what we do is we actually create a simple website that's all about the book. Because, like I said, once again, the book is a business, so the business needs a website. So anyone who has a book and doesn't have a website specifically for their book, I would highly encourage them to go right now to GoDaddy and freaking buy a domain. Right now. Because you need to have that. And then the website is all about the book and, of course, the author. And, you know, you want to have, like, pictures on there, like, you know, with your book, events that you go out to. Because it's all about, like, you know, getting to know people and getting to know the author. And then, you know, you want to blog at least a couple times a week. Because blogging, if you're a writer, you should be able to blog. Like, that should be nothing, you know, 500 words. Throw a blog out there. And so do, you know, the blogging, the Facebook, the Twitter, all that kind of stuff. You got to constantly be out there in people's faces 24/7 with your book. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that we'll do for our author. Because, like, you know, once the book is published, it's so easy to do blogs. You can just go and take snippets from the book, paste it into a blog, and, like, blast it out there. So it's so easy to just repurpose information.
So it's not as difficult. It's just really a matter of an author really, well, actually sitting down and creating a plan for marketing the book if they're not working with someone then.
I mean, like, for our social media campaigns, we blog twice a week, you know, four times, twice a week, 4 weeks. So it's like 8 blogs that go out a month. And then we do 100 tweets a month. So it's 5 tweets, 5 days a week, you know, like Monday through Friday. And then what you can do is if you set up, you know, like I like WordPress. That's what I use for my platform. Because, you know, WordPress is really good with Google to enhance your Google ability, that I call it. And then you can link up all of your other social media accounts. So you can make it a whole lot easier. And within WordPress, you can hook up Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, all that kind of stuff. So every time you send a blog out, it's going to link to all those, and you just hit the button, and then it's blasted out. And so you're really not taking that much time.
Right. I you know, I agree with you. I love WordPress in the sense that I used to do web development for small businesses, and what I loved about it was that let's say you want to have this cover for this month, then you want to change to something else. It's just so easy to do it, you know. And you know, so I used to love it for that, especially for businesses that were seasonal or they had type of, you know, seasonal products. I just thought it was a great great, you know, website to have with a WordPress site. So tell me, how do you define success for Richter Publishing right now?
Well, I would say that we're pretty successful at getting books to be bestsellers. I mean, we just launched the Plaintiff 101. It was last Monday, and I was actually I had to drive to Miami for a speaking engagement, and I was launching the bestseller campaign. So that was a little stressful having to drive 4 hours south, you know, and monitor it. And it took about 13 hours for it to hit. So we didn't even see it till like 11 o'clock at night. But, I mean, it's amazing the fact that we got it to be a number one Amazon bestseller and a number one hot new release. And actually, if you go on there, it's still number one hot new release. And so that's been over a week.
Well, give us a quick overview of what makes a book number one on Amazon.
Okay. So there's a, you know, there's two different types of bestsellers. There's obviously the New York Times bestseller, and then there is the Amazon bestseller. Now, to become a New York Times bestseller, you have to have your books in the bookstore, and then you have to have the most amount of people go out and physically buy your book from the bookstore, and that's how you become a New York Times bestseller. So that's way more difficult. Way more hard to do that. So with Amazon, and this is why I love Amazon, is, you know, it's all online sales. So basically, in order to become a bestseller on Amazon, you have to outsell every other book
in your listed category at any given mm-hmm. time. So
okay.
it's kind of a gamble. You know, it's kind of like going mm-hmm. to Vegas with a plan. Like, I have all mm-hmm. the moving pieces, and I've done it enough times where I think it's going to work, but you never know. It's never
right.
a guarantee. Because somebody,
right.
like, I mean, well, and the cool thing with the name of the book is called Plaintiff 101, and
mm-hmm.
so we had it listed in a law category, and lo
mm-hmm.
and behold, I didn't even realize this until we outsold him. John Grisham's book is in the same freaking category. And
wow.
I'm like, really? But we outsold John Grisham. We pushed him from number one down to number three. So that
okay.
was amazing.
So it's not based on how much you price your book or the sales of your book. What would you say, because you've been doing this, would you say that sales are based on how you price your book on Amazon, or is it just really based on how you present it to sell?
Well, yeah, the price doesn't have anything to do with it. You could have a price of $5 or $180, which some of the books
okay.
in this category are $180 because they're actual law books that law
uh-huh.
students are supposed to buy. So this book
okay.
is kind of a mix of everything. And then we got John Grisham, which, I mean, that's like fiction. So,
mm-hmm.
and ours is nonfiction. So it was really kind of a strange category that I wasn't used to. You know, I've never done a bestseller campaign in a law category like this before, this type of book. So it
okay.
has nothing to do with any of that. It basically
uh-huh.
comes down to selling the most amount of books than anyone else. You have to sell,
okay.
you have to have people go and buy your book,
mm-hmm.
more of your book than anyone else, in order for you to become a bestseller. So that's why I say
okay.
it's like a gamble.
Okay.
Because you have no
mm-hmm.
idea how many people are buying John Grisham's book. You have no idea if, like, say, the law school is like, okay, everybody go buy this textbook, and 500 kids go buy a textbook all at the same
right.
time, and then
mm-hmm.
they would outsell you. So
mm-hmm.
it's
mm-hmm.
just, it's a strategy that you plan
mm-hmm.
and put everything into work. Like, we do a really hard-hitting marketing campaign. You know, that whole day I was running Facebook ads. We emailed, like, all of her contacts and her database, all of my
mm-hmm.
contacts, you know, reminding
mm-hmm.
people and just really
mm-hmm.
pushing it out there and trying to get everyone to buy her book the day that it was released.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
it worked.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, is there any special, because when we say social media, is there any special or not special, would you say, what are probably the top social medias that you use? Do you use groups that you're in? How, when you're marketing, what do you use? Because I know that a lot of groups have the numbers, but that doesn't necessarily mean they have the engagement.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's an
mm-hmm.
interesting thing that social media people are talking about, that, like, Facebook is actually for older people now. And younger
uh-huh.
people are using more stuff like Twitter and Snapchat.
Okay.
So,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. So it kind of depends upon your demographic and who you're trying to hit.
Oh,
because when I
right.
do Facebook ads, you know, you can, after it's been running for a while, you can see the demographics of the people who click on
mm-hmm.
it
yeah.
and read it. And it is, the majority is women, like 35 is
okay.
who's on Facebook.
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
so,
okay.
You know, it's not men, it's not kids in their 20s, I call them kids, but, you know, people in their 20s, it's not men, it's literally women who are 35, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, give or take a few years, which
mm-hmm.
it's kind of funny because that's, you know, pretty much like the age range I'm in, and for a lot
mm-hmm.
of my stuff, like my Dating Jungle books, I'm like, it was a perfect target clientele for me.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
it may not be, you know, now it, that could be good also for kids' books, because then you'd be marketing to the mothers.
Right.
You know.
Right. Uh-huh.
So that's
very
could, you
important
know, be,
to know. Well, very important to know which social media caters to what age group then.
Exactly. So I know Snapchat
mm-hmm.
is the coolest new thing in Periscope, or yeah, Periscoping. And
mm-hmm.
I haven't done a lot with that, But I know, like, my cousin who's 21, she loves Snapchat, and I just don't really get it. And I'm like, cool. Like, okay. Like, I don't understand. You do something, and then it's gone 24 hours later. So it's kind of difficult for marketing, you know, when things disappear. So you really just kind of have to test it out, you know?
Yes, yes. And you're right, because, and when you say that, because in my studies that I've done, it's interesting to see how a lot of the social medias, especially for young people, how they work. Because when you say that 24 hours, that's probably pretty reasonable when you're thinking about how quickly their mind shifts from one thing to another, you know, and how quickly that goes. I had an intern come in 1 year, and she was phenomenal because she came in and she set up the, you know, social media according to what we needed, and then she was like, oh, yeah, you need this one for this demographic. I mean, she was just outstanding, okay? and I was like, oh, okay. I said, so that's it. And she would say, oh, Tumblr is for this, and, you know, and Instagram is this. And so I'm getting better now because I listen to them.
Yeah, absolutely. About the they know it, you know?
Yes, they do know it. They do know it.
So that's what you just have to be smart, you know, when you're doing it.
Yes. Well, you do. Well, you know what? You do have to do your homework. You really do. And see, that's where you come in because, you know, for me, and I do advise this for a lot of listeners, if you're listening out there, I'm very busy with, you know, developing, you know, my magazine and whatnot. So anything that I write, I'm not looking to do it all by myself because it's really unreasonable to think that I could actually go out and make all my book signing dates and my presentations and do my marketing. I would rather give that out to an agent or a publishing company that can do that because it's just, you know, although, okay, I understand how marketing goes and whatnot, it's just not great for me time-wise. So anybody that's out there, and if you're busy, I do know busy businesswomen, and I always say to them, you know what, you're making this too hard on yourself. There's somebody out there that can do this for you. So definitely I'm glad that you're on here. And why not? Go to an expert. The expert is, you know, that's why they're an expert and they love what they do. So now you said So you said one of your projects now you want to go into children's book. What made you think that you want to do, besides hearing people say that, what's the other reasoning for having that offshoot to do children's book? Because children's book is a specialty publishing.
It's, well, you know, once you publish, I mean, it's all the same in regards to, you know, the mechanics behind it. It's just different where, like, kids' books is more heavy illustration and not as much text, where, like, the business books is more text and not illustration. And then, of course, like, the different sizes and stuff like that. And, like I said, half the people that come to me, I have been turning away, and then I can't find, you know, they're like, well, you know, do you know of anyone? And I only know of one guy in New York City, and you know, and some, like, stuff has, like, fallen through, like, with him, and I don't know anybody else. And then I kind of feel like I'm just sending these people off into, like, Never Never Land, and they're I don't know what to do. And so that's why, you know, I decided in the beginning of the year I was going to, you know, like, start testing out, you know, children's books and going with some authors because, like, you know, I do a lot of marketing for my clients, and we do big, huge book launch parties where they're group book launches. And I actually consulted a group of children's writers in Sarasota a year ago, and they just loved all the marketing ideas I had. So I'm like, you know, it's really just shifting from, you know, like, our big book launch parties. Like, we have our big one coming up in October, you know, since it's adults, we have it at a winery, we're drinking wine, we give away prizes, you know, we have fun, like, all that kind of stuff. Well, for kids, it's just catering to kids, you know, it's doing it with, like, you know, at a playground or with, like, cakes and ice cream. And, you know, like, I mean, I think if you're good at marketing, it's really not that difficult to switch the, you know, the whole concept from it. So I'm kind of excited because I know I had some people that are like, well, I want to publish with you. And I was like, I don't do kids books. And they're like, I don't care. I'm going to publish with you. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. So, I'm like, why not, you know?
Well, I mean, that's, you know what, it's a compliment to you for someone to say that. And it gives us a great picture of the integrity that you have behind your company for someone to say that. So tell our listening audience where they can find you, where you can find your publishing company, and a little bit about how to contact you.
Well, they can go to my website, which is richterpublishing.com, and it's spelled just like the Richter scale, R-I-C-H-T-E-R, publishing.com. And there I have all the photos of our events, all the books we publish, you know, some more info about our packages. And if you go to the contact page on my website, I actually do free 30-minute consultations over the phone, and I have an automatic scheduler, so anybody can go on there and schedule a phone call with me, and they just choose a date and time that works for them, and I call them at the number that's listed, and I'll chat with anyone for 30 minutes and answer all their questions about writing, publishing, marketing, really anything that they have.
Wow, that's fantastic, fantastic. And, you know, and anybody, if you're, you know, out there also as well, we will have this program, and we'll have Tara's information on Vertical Life Magazine on Facebook and on the online magazine as well. So if you're looking for someone to help you with your business book, definitely we'll be posting you, Tara, on some of our groups that we have as well that – a lot of women I see out there that are, you know, interested in doing a business book. Tell me, Tara, who is your biggest support team? Because definitely to be doing everything you're doing, you must have a great support team.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've been an entrepreneur my whole life, and I'm from Nebraska. So there's not a lot of business owners out there, you know, it's like go to college, get a 9-to-5, like work in the corporate world, and that was never me.
Yeah.
And so it's really difficult when you're really, you know, like you always feel so different. You're like, God, why can't I just get a job like everyone else? But, you know, it just didn't make me happy.
Right.
So I actually joined this, I call it an entrepreneur boot camp. It's called KPI 2 years ago. And I met a bunch of wonderful people. There were 30 of us that were all business owners in the Tampa Bay area. And that's also how I was connected with Kevin Harrington, with Anthony Amos, and, you know, just all these business people coming together and sharing ideas. And from that, it's like a 10-month accelerator program. I met some awesome people that I'm still friends with today, and my best friend, who also is one of my authors and has her own company. So, you know, we just talk every day and bounce ideas around on the phone, and we come up with great freaking business concepts, you know, and it's just having those like-minded people. Yeah, especially when we're drinking wine, that's when we come up with the best ideas. But
Well, that's great. I totally can relate to that because I have a mentor who became my. She's we always talk about how we're going to go out and do president CEO stuff, but it's really great when you find that team or group of people that are like minded and like you said, you can bounce ideas off. It really makes a difference, I believe, and you know, as you're you know, doing your business, it really does. Well, Tara,
absolutely.
I am so happy that you came and talked to us today and that you gave us an idea and a sneak peek into your publishing company. I'm excited because I definitely I definitely want to put you on my Woman on the Rise page because there's so many women that are they're either starting to pursue their passion, they're starting businesses, you know, they want to write their own books, and definitely you're going to be the first person I have on their publishing company that says, hey, well, she does nonfiction business books, and this is a great person that you want to talk to. So I'm happy that I met you, that you're on my FB page. And,
awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely going to be putting you out for more exposure, but thank you for coming to the program. Do you have anything you want to say to our listeners before we go?
I'll just give out a piece of advice that I tell a lot of my authors or people who are starting, you know, to, like, write a book. Because people are like, you know, well, what makes a good book? So when you're writing, don't put anything down on paper that doesn't make you cry, doesn't make you laugh, or doesn't make you think hard.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're writing, you know what I mean? Like when you're writing out your story, if it makes you laugh, if it makes you cry, or if it makes you stop and think, then you know it's good writing and that's what you want in your book.
That is fantastic advice, Tara. I like what you just said. That is just really a great advice right there. Well, Tara, thank you for coming on the program. I'm looking forward, once you start the children's book thing, to have you back and talk about that, because it is very – I don't see many publishers that do children's books. But it is I call it a specialty because of all the things you have to consider when you're writing children's books. But I definitely would love for you to come back and talk about that section once you start getting it up and going. Definitely will be looking to forward people to you.
Awesome.
And say, oh, I have somebody here for you. Definitely will be looking forward to that. So, but thank you again for saying yes to coming on the show. We learned a lot, and I love your last statement. And definitely, Tara, we wish you all the best in your future endeavors.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. And to all our audience that came on today, I really appreciate your support for Vertical. Thank you. You've been so faithful to listen to our programs and give your responses. If you have any questions for me, you know you can send them, put them on my Facebook page, or you can send it to info@verticallifemagazine.com. That's vertical with a K, .com. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. Good night.